sung of the freedom that you provided us in Christ Jesus, our Lord. We thank you for that freedom. And Father, we thank you for the pursuit. We thank you that you don't leave us where we are, that you pursue us and you want us to walk by faith. And we thank you for the opportunity to live with abundant life and walking by faith with you. And Father, I pray that as your word comes forth, that we would be soft and moldable and ready to hear what you would have for us. And Father, that you might change us. You might give us opportunities to walk by faith this week. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
You may be seated. So I understand that you need some financial advice. Well, you've come to the right place. It's been a while since we've met on the matter of finances and your portfolio. Welcome to Christian Family Financial Services. We've been in business since AD 33, and actually longer if you count our forefathers. People come in all the time and ask, what should I do with all my assets? Well, you know, with the stock market at 22,000, can you believe that? 22,000 this last week, and the economy seems to be picking up significantly. So you want to make wise investment decisions. Well, we have the answers at CFFS, where we give heavenly advice and dividends are out of this world. We have a reliable manual. It's called the Bible. And that gives us all the information we need. And I'd like to pass a portion of that on to you this morning as you turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 6, verses 19 through 24, as we continue in our study through the book of Matthew and the Sermon on the Mount. All right, so our take-home thought here this morning is that finances are a matter of your heart. Finances are a matter of your heart. Finances and possessions are heart issues. Now, some may think that finances are personal and don't or shouldn't have anything to do with where you are spiritually. Now, let me ask you this. Do you think heaven and hell is important? Amen? Yes. All right. 500 references in the Scripture to heaven and hell. That's a lot. Do you think prayer is important? Yes? Yes. All right. Prayer is important. 500 references in the Scriptures about prayer. How about finances and personal possessions? Are those important? Yes. Listen to this. 2,000 references in Scripture to finances and personal possessions and how we use those. So, some of you may be sitting here thinking, well, I can't believe it. Here I am. I go to church. I haven't been in church for a while, but I go to church and here they are talking about money. I knew it. Well, here we go. Why in the world are they doing that? Well, we need to emphasize what God emphasizes. I mean, there are 2,000 passages in the Scripture talking about this matter. We happen to come to one of those today, and it's the next passage in our study. So it's not a mistake that you're here. All right? And so we all want to learn from this. Learn from Jesus. Learning from the feet of Jesus here. So follow as I read verses 19 down through 24. Jesus is preaching. Isn't that interesting? Even Jesus talked about money when he was preaching. All right? So verse 19, Jesus says, do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moth and rust do not destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The eye is the lamp of the body. If your eyes are good, your whole body will be full of light. If your eyes are bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light within you is darkness, how great is that darkness? No one can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. So we're going to look at some heart matters, financial heart matters here this morning. So let's take a look at the first one, and that is, make eternal investments. Make eternal investments. What are you supposed to do in order to make wise investments? Well, make them eternal. And our manual, your manual, is the Bible, which points out a great investment opportunity in this passage. And so here's what you ought to do. Here's what you need to do. All right? Fasten your seatbelts. The first thought here is to liquidate all your assets. All right, liquidate all your earthly assets. The point being, God owns everything, you own nothing. That's the first point of stewardship, or what we call life management. That's the first principle of life management. God owns everything, you own nothing. In being true to the take-home thought of Jesus' message here, Jesus is going after your heart. You must come to the point where you believe in your heart, live out through your finances and possession that God owns everything, you own nothing. All that you have has been entrusted to you by God. Everything you possess has been given to you by God. He owns it. He already owns it. But so you say, well, what about what I do have? Well, that's been entrusted to you by God. It's been given to you from Him. And that's the second life principle. So it just amazed me. On Sunday mornings, as I'm getting ready to come over and preach and all, I like to watch the news. And then James McDonald comes on at 8:30. And so I was listening to James McDonald. Guess what he was preaching on? Money. And so I thought, wow, this is really awesome. And he had some really neat thoughts here. And so one of the things he did, and I'm going to ask you to do it as well. All right? I'd like everybody to take out your wallet. All right? If you have your wallet with you, go ahead and take it out. Or if you have a purse, go ahead and take your wallet, your purse out. And or checkbook, or if you do your finances on your cell phone or whatever, go ahead and take it out. All right, and just hold it here. Just kind of, you can set your Bible next to you or whatever. And just hold it. And what I'd like you to do is I'd like you to just you know, nobody else has to look, just kind of peek in there and see what's there. All right, I'm taking an offering right now, okay? I'm not going to take an offering. The point is, I just as an illustration of you know what, God owns that, and whatever is there, He's entrusted to your care. And it's interesting, James McDonald pointed out that this is a test. This is a test. And what we're facing here this morning, even through our messages, is this is a test. Money, finances, personal possessions is a test. And so God has put you here. Okay, how are you going to fare on the test? How are you going to do? He says, and James McDonald pointed out, that money is a test of work ethic. As you take your wallet and you look there, and you look, that whatever was there, you earned in some way or another. And it may cause you to think way back when you first started to work. Are you working diligently to earn that which you have in your wallet or in your checkbook? You know, you just take a peek. It's a test of earning, working, a work ethic. And, you know, when we think of finances, we think of earning, we think of saving, we think of spending, and we think of giving, right? This is a test. The next aspect of this test is self-control, because some of you opened up your wallet and moths flew out. You know, there's nothing there. You know, you spent it all. You know, it's a matter of self-control. Do you have self-control? It's also a test of integrity. How did you earn that money? Did you earn it honestly? Did you gamble to get what you have? Or maybe that's why you don't have anything. You know, it's a test of integrity, how you earned that. It is also a test of your love for others. You know, are you ready to give and willing to share with others who may be in need? Have you done that? Do you do that? It's a test of that. And then finally, it's a test of your love for God. And so, you know, as we go through the message, you can keep this, you know, and think about this. Maybe set it next to you. Don't forget to pick it up when you leave. But, well, you can leave it if you want. But no, you know, think about this. This is to illustrate that God is giving you a test. God is giving you a test. And you ask yourself, how am I doing? And so we realize, you know, God owns it all. God owns everything. We own nothing. And God has given you, entrusted to you, everything that you possess. And so, here's, as you liquidate all your earthly assets, here's the next thought here, and that is put them into heavenly stock. Liquidate all your earthly assets. Put them into heavenly stock. Look at verses 19 and 20. and 21. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven where moth and rust do not destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Sounds drastic. Put all your assets into heavenly stock. Well, hear me out, all right? Because it pays great dividends. When you do that, it pays great dividends. In fact, if you figure out, like we're working on a calculator here, and you add all of this up, and you put all your assets, you liquidate all your assets, and you put them into heavenly stock, guess what? The dividends are eternal. It's eternal life. Listen to this. Luke 6:38. Give, and it will be given to you. I mean, that is a principle in the Scriptures of you give, and it will be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over. The return is unbelievable. The saying goes, you cannot outgive God. And I believe that. God teaches that. And He wants you to know that. So I want you to take your house. I want you to take your car, your boat, if you have a boat, your toys, whatever they may be, your family, your friends, your clothes, your land, your animals, your job. Turn it all over to the Lord. You turn it all over to God. It's not yours. It was His to begin with. God wants to see what you're going to do with what He has entrusted to you. Look at verse 19. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth. The word store here means stacking of coins. It has the idea of stockpiling or hoarding. You know, can you believe they have a program on hoarding? Isn't it amazing? They show. I mean, I don't even like to watch it. It's like, ugh, you know. You walk in, there's just stacks and piles of stuff. And almost every one of them has this one room that's just like, whoa, it's just a... Looks like a bomb hit it, right? Now, I'm not saying if that's you, I'm just saying, whoa, think about it. All right? Think about it. The idea here of storing is just that. It's a picture of wealth not being used. Think of old Scrooge. We're going to have Christmas in August here, all right? Think of old Scrooge. You know, he's sitting there and he's just counting it out. And he says, you know, surplus population and all that, you know. Old Scrooge. To store things on earth is to use the wealth to use your wealth for other than it was intended. What are you stockpiling? What are you collecting? Now, I'm not against collecting. I mean, there are people who collect this and that and the other thing, all kinds of things. I mean, you name it, it's probably collected. I'm not against that. The question is, what are you doing with it? For what purpose are you collecting it? And ask yourself, does it have any eternal purpose? The point being here that any wealth you have is to be used to God's glory. And any wealth you have is to be used to the honor and glory of God. Now, this is not saying, all right? This is not saying that you shouldn't own anything. You know, that you shouldn't have any material possessions. That's not what we're saying. That's not what Jesus is saying. But God wants you to be generous with whatever you have and be willing to share and use them to His honor and glory. If or when you use that which has been entrusted to your care, you glorify God with it. You use it out of thanksgiving. I mean, you have some nice things. I have some nice things. I want to use it to the glory of God. I don't want to misuse it. I don't want to mistreat it. It's been entrusted to my care. And if or when I have opportunity, I want to be generous and willing to share. Use it out of thanksgiving because you understand it's God's. And He provided it to me. In fact, keep your finger here in Matthew 6 and look at 1 Timothy chapter 6. This is very important. 1 Timothy chapter 6, if you're taking notes, jot down verses 17 through 19. And by the way, that's in YouVersion. You can be following right along. It's already looked up for you. 1 Timothy 6, verse 17, command those who are rich. Listen, you're rich. Compared to the standards of this world, you here this morning, you're rich. For one thing, I know that because you're wearing clothes. There are some people in this world, they have to scratch just to get a pair of shoes or clothes to wear. We're rich. Command those who are rich. This is it's speaking to Timothy, a pastor of a church. And so it's talking to me to command you. Command those who are rich in this present world not to be arrogant or to put their hope in wealth, which is so uncertain, but to put their hope in God, who richly provides us with everything. There it is. God has, He owns everything. We own nothing. He's provided everything that you have for you. He has provided us with everything, listen to this, for our enjoyment. We're allowed to enjoy our boat. We're allowed to enjoy our golf clubs or to go shooting on the range or go hunting with our guns, see, our bow and arrow, whatever. We're allowed to enjoy that, using it to His glory still. He has richly provided us with everything for our enjoyment. Now listen, verse 18. Command them to be good, to be rich in good deeds, and to be generous and willing to share. In this way, they will lay up treasure for themselves as a firm foundation for the coming age, so that they may take hold of the life that is truly life. You invest in eternity and you can't lose. It's the greatest investment of all. Use your finances, your possessions, your resources to bring glory to God and to minister to others. That, I'm going to come back to that, but that's really kind of the bottom line on all of this. Bring glory to God and minister to others. So you have the ability to increase or to diminish what God has entrusted to your care. That's the third principle of stewardship or life management. God owns everything, we own nothing. Secondly, everything you possess, He's entrusted to your care. And the third one is, you can make a choice to increase it or diminish it. What are you going to do? That's the third principle, which leads us to the second heart matter, and that is, invest with eternal purpose. Invest with eternal purpose. So we're going to look this morning, and as anytime you look at a portfolio, you think about rationale. What are you trying to accomplish? And so why are we doing this? And is it accomplishing what we hope it accomplishes in the end? So here's the rationale. Here's the first thought. Earthly treasures either rust, rot, or are stolen. They spoil. That's what happens to earthly treasures. You lose interest in it. You know, there's things I have sitting in my little shop there. I just don't have. I retired from the softball team 2 years ago, and I just kind of, and they brought me out of retirement this last week or so. It's like, oh, okay, you know, you just don't use them like, I just don't use my ball and glove and bat like I used to. You lose interest in things, or you can't use them. You just physically can't. And listen, you're going to die without it anyway. So why do we put so much interest in these things or emphasis on these things? I had when I lived in Fort Wayne, we had a neighbor back in the back part of our house development division, whatever. And he had a boat, really nice boat. And this is, you know, it was like, wow, this is really nice. And you know, people up in that area had boats. They'd go up to the lakes in that area and so on. And he had a cover on it and took good care of his boat. One day I was down there in his neck of the woods, and he had taken the cover off his boat, and it was absolutely trashed. It was just devastated. And he's like, oh, I can't believe it. Oh, look at that. And I mean, and what happened is a family of raccoons had gotten into his boat. And I mean, there were seat cushions all tore up. It was just the cables were all chewed through. They'd gotten into little cabinets. You know, they're pretty have dexterity, and they can open up those things. They pulled out life vests and fishing reels, and it was an absolute mess. That's what happens to earthly stuff so often. toys get broken. Cars rust. We get burglarized. Oh, don't you hate that? Do you ever have someone take something from you? That's what happens to earthly stuff. Now again, God's not saying, it's no big deal. Don't worry about it. Because we're to manage those assets. We're to care for them. It's good to lock your doors at night. You know, it's good to close the garage door at night. Isn't that a sinking feeling? That happened to us a couple of weeks, week and a half ago. We got up in the morning, I opened up the door, the garage door's wide open. Like, oh, can't believe it. Oh my goodness. You know, and you kind of take inventory, you know. Like, whoa. God's not saying don't lock your doors. It's no big deal. Just leave your stuff laying around. No, you're to be a good steward. You're to manage those things well. Take good care of it. Thank you, Dad. He taught me that. You know, we tried to teach our kids that. Don't leave stuff laying. Take care of your things. They wear out soon enough. But you need to realize these are just things. We had a speaker several years ago. His name's Jim Rickard, and he helped us with this area of personal finances and possessions, as well as a church and how to set things up and some things we needed to think through. And he tells of a couple who collected antiques for years. It just, I mean, expensive kind of stuff, you know. Collecting them for years, and they were getting close to the end of their lives, and they just didn't have the strength and stamina, and they thought, you know, we got to start figuring out how we're going to distribute our assets after we're gone. And they came to Jim and they said, you know, we're devastated. Our kids don't want this. They don't want these precious antiques, and we don't know what to do. And Jim looked at him and he said, listen, folks, it's just stuff. Right? It's just stuff. And you can't take it with you. Which leads us to the next thought here, the next rationale, and that is your treasure in heaven lasts. The stuff on this earth. In fact, I had somebody in the early services, they heard that and they walked out and they said, that's exactly what we're going through right now. You know? And this individual told the family member, in the end, it's all going to burn. You know, it doesn't. But your treasure in heaven lasts. Verse 20. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moth and rust do not destroy, where thieves do not break in and steal. You can't take treasure with you. You've never seen a U-Haul behind a funeral coach. Right? Now, the ancient Egyptians, they thought they could. And you had the pharaohs get buried with all of their stuff, you know, in their pyramids. And guess what? It's all still there. You know, they didn't take it with them. It's just stuff. You heard about the guy who made the deal with God? Made a deal with God. He said, God, I really want to take some of my stuff with me. God says, well, you can just take a satchel. One piece of luggage. And you can put anything you want in there. And the guy thought, oh, this will be great. So he takes gold. And so he dies and he goes to heaven carrying his satchel, you know. And Peter said, whoa, wait a minute. At the pearly gate, he said, you can't come in here with that. You got to leave that behind. No, I made a deal with God. You know, he said I could bring this with me. And Peter said, well, I'm not going to argue with God. What do you got? And he opens it up and he looks at it and he goes, why did you bring pavement? Golden streets. Streets of gold. All right, moving right along. Thank you. Let's see what's that. I'll be here next Friday or whatever. Next thought is a matter of the heart. We're talking about rationale, right? And that is where your treasure is, your heart is. Where your treasure is, your heart is. We often misquote this saying and we say, for where your heart is, there will your treasure be also. Now, there's truth to that, but that's not how Jesus said it. Where your heart is, that's where your treasure will be. There's truth to that. But Jesus said, where your treasure is, there will your heart be. It kind of goes back to the test. You want to know where your heart is? Where's your treasure? You want to know where your heart is? Look at your checkbook. Look at your bank statement. Look at the stuff you have. How's it being used? It's a test of where your heart is. Verse 21, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Verses 22 and 23, the eye is the lamp of the body. If your eyes are good, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eyes are bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light within you is darkness, how great is that darkness? Now, this is an illustration of what Jesus is talking about. It really took me a while to sort this through and think, what in the world? I mean, he talks about money in verses 19 to 21 and possessions. And then he talks about it again in verse 24. What does 22 and 23 have to do with this? The point here is a physical illustration. The eye is a physical illustration of the spiritual concept of your heart. What you see affects your whole body. Not last night, but the night before, we're laying in bed, and I told you last week we always pray and kiss goodnight, and then I love you, I'll see you in the morning. So my head hits the pillow, you know, I'm gone. Teresa, she's got to unwind a little bit, and she goes through phone or reads Facebook or whatever, and you know, and the all of a sudden I hear, and I'm going, what in the world's going on? And she was looking on Facebook. So I don't know which one of you posted this. Thank you very much. But anyway, there was this guy who was going after this big spider on the wall. And anybody going to confess? This big spider on the wall, and the guy's walking over to put something over top of the spider, and all of a sudden, wah! It comes right at the screen. Scared the bejabbers out of her. The whole body was affected. The whole household was affected. I mean, the cockroaches spray. I mean, it was just like, that's what you see affects your whole body. What you see affects your whole body. Your whole being. Revival of the heart starts with giving up selfishness and turning it all over to God, right down to your pocketbook. John MacArthur says, revival that does not affect the use of money and possessions is a questionable revival. Say, I just really want to draw close to God. This is part of it. If you're holding back, it ain't going to happen like you want it to happen. So here's another rationale, and that is simply in verse 24, you can't serve two masters. It's just a simple principle. You can't serve two masters. No one can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. Can't. He's speaking here of being a literal slave. You cannot be a slave to God. You can't be a slave to money and be a slave to God. That's what God wants of you. He wants you to serve him. There's no in-between. And Revelation says that if you're lukewarm, what? I'll spit you out. You want to be hot for God? Place your assets into his care and use them to his glory and to serve others. You want to know if you're hot for God? Take a look at your checkbook and how you use your possessions. Because how you use your possessions and finances are indicators as to where your heart is. How you use your possessions and finances are indicators as to where your heart is. Which leads to the fourth life management principle. Fourth principle of stewardship, and that is God can call you into account at any time. You're going to stand before God and give an account. And this is a key indicator. So here's the third matter of your heart regarding finances, and that is plan with an eternal perspective. Plan with an eternal perspective. So as we came here and says, okay, what do I do with my assets? And you liquidate your assets and put them into heavenly stock. How do you do that? Well, first of all, plan. First of all, you need to plan. John MacArthur says, it's right for us to provide for our families, to make reasonable plans for the future, to make wise investments, and to have money to carry on a business, give to the poor, and support the Lord's work. It is being dishonest, greedy, covetous, stingy, and miserly about possessions that is wrong. To honestly earn, save, and give is wise and good. To hoard and spend only on ourselves is not only unwise, but it is sinful. Do you have a financial plan? I'm going to say a four-letter word that's actually, six letters. Do you have a budget? You know, do you have a budget? A budget is a tool that helps govern your earning, your savings, your spending, and your giving. That's what a budget does. And this is my personal thought here. And that is, if it's not on paper, it's not a budget. Or in the computer. You know, if you don't have some visual means, or as Dave Ramsey, you know, he has the envelope system. You know, you have these little envelopes. And you've got to have some kind of tool to help you manage that. That's Dale Christian wisdom, okay, that I've learned from others. But have a plan, a budget. And the first thing on that plan is tithes and offerings. My parents taught me, and they were just sharing this with me just yesterday. I didn't even tell them I was preaching on finances today. They were telling me just yesterday, you just can't outgive God. And I've heard that since I was in my mom's belly. I mean, you know, you just can't outgive God. And they've always taught you give a tithe, which is generally is 10%. That's what tithe means. And an offering. So whatever the percentage is that you give it faithfully, as unto the Lord. And they said, we live better off of our 90% or 85%, whatever it is, wherever they are. We live better on less because we're faithful. God blesses. I don't know how He will or how He does that, but we've experienced it personally as well. And I know many of you have. I've heard your testimonies. You're faithful to the Lord, and God blesses. And I think tithing, giving to the Lord through the ministry of the church, is the greatest way to express your faith and dependency upon the Lord in our culture today. Because we can spend our way using a credit card out of just about every difficulty. Or file bankruptcy. That, you know, people do that, right? But to give, say, man, things are tight. To give faithfully, and then watch God work. That's a step of faith. It's a step of faith. So I'm just encouraging you to be a faithful giver to the ministry of FBC. It's worth your investment. Our vision is to show Christ as indispensable to our community. We're seeing God do great things. What we did just a week, 2 weeks ago now, during BSA, was because of the faithful giving of God's people. We were able to have the giving, not just financially, but serving as well. But we were able to have an impact on this community for Christ in the lives of children and families because of your faithful giving. And I think of this Hope Over Heroin. Our church has given significantly through our discipleship and outreach budget. We have given significantly to Hope Over Heroin. And so, you know, that's where our heart is. And so to give not only financially to that, but to get involved in that is so good and so important. We're showing through the faithful giving of God's people where our heart is. To show Christ is indispensable to our community. We have the 5K coming up. And on the 5K, you know, you think, well, you know, we give we have the registrations. I don't know, this is weird. But we have learned that you get more people will run in a race if they have to pay for it. Now, we provide all the resources for the race. Okay? It costs to do that. So all the registration fees we're giving to Lincoln Community Center for their Thanksgiving feast to help out with that. All the registration fees goes to that. So how can we pull off a race like that? Because there are expenses involved. The faithful giving of God's people. By your giving. And in that way, we can have an impact on our community for Christ through the Lincoln Center. The Thanksgiving feast that's open to the community. You see, we're trying to put into practice our commitment to the vision, but it also comes back to you, as we said last week, and your heart for God. As you come and you are ministered to through the preaching, through the teaching, throughout the ministry and in our life groups and so on, we can't do all of this without the faithful giving of God's people. And so I encourage you to give and challenge you to give faithfully to the Lord through the ministry. Again, the point here is, do you have a financial plan to control income and spending? And if not, your money's probably managing you. Here's another principle, and that is there's tremendous freedom through structure and discipline. Tremendous freedom through structure and discipline. Serving God and finances demand structure and discipline, which results in freedom. You can't serve two masters. And the key here is service. Use that which you possess to the glory of God. Your house, your car, your boat, your toys, your family, your friends, your clothes, your land, your animals, your job. You turn them title, deed, lock, stock, and barrel over to God. There's a plan. And then plan to serve. I think serving is the key to placing assets in the heavenly stockhouse. Serving is the key to placing assets in the heavenly stockhouse. Where are you serving? What are you serving? Are you trapped or are you free? There's amazing parallels, to serving God and your attitude toward your finances. Question now is, okay, who can make this kind of investment? Who can place their assets into God's care? Well, you've got to realize it's a members-only proposition. It's members only. It's just like a credit union. You know, you have to be a member before you can invest and make deposits and so on. And it's the same way here. Some of you are like, what? The point here is only members of God's family. Only members of God's family can invest in eternity. I'm not saying you have to be a member of our church, but you have to be a member of God's family. I would encourage you to consider being a member of our church and be a part of our fellowship. As you see our vision and you give to that as a part of your ministry here. Oh, by the way, anyone can become a member. You join the family and you realize that, you know what? In order to do that, you realize I'm spiritually bankrupt. I have a sin debt that I can't pay. And so what we need is we need the one, Jesus, who died on the cross to pay your sin debt, to make the deposit for you on your behalf. And by the way, he died, he was buried, and he rose again to show you that he is the one who can do this, and he is the one, only one who can do this for you. And he paid that sin debt that you could not pay. And so you believe that you repent, you turn away from your debt, your sinfulness, and you believe that Jesus paid that debt through his death, burial, and resurrection. You ask him to save you. And listen, he forgives you that debt. He forgives the debt. So my question in closing is, will you invest now? Will you invest now? You know, you go to a financial planner and they say, well, here's what I think you ought to do. So here it is. What do you want to do? That's what I'm doing here today. That's what we're doing. We're saying, okay, will you invest in eternity? And some of you, as you think about this, it's a matter of, okay, I need to realize my spiritual bankruptcy, my sin, and I need a Savior. I need Jesus to save me and pay and believe that he paid that debt for me. I can't help but think that there may be someone here that you need salvation through Jesus. Many of you have. Praise God. Your sin has, your Jesus paid that sin debt for you. So now you are a family of God. And I want to encourage you to be a giver. Be a giver. Give of your time, your talents, your treasures. To be wise in the use of your money, the earning, the saving, the spending, the giving. And in light of that, I'm asking you to give faithfully to the ministry of FBC. When we think of, you know, you think of giving, you think of paying pastoral salaries, you think of buildings and grounds, as well as programs. And all of that's a part of that. And I've talked about some of those things that we have going. But you look at our buildings and grounds, you say, okay, how is this a part of that? We for one thing, we can't have this place to meet without the faithful giving of God's people. And this is an old building. This building is aging, and we're talking, we've done a lot of renovations, and the only way we could do that was because of the faithful giving of God's people. But there's a lot more to do. We've been doing it in kind of increments. One of the things we want to do is we want to put new lighting in here. We want to put new carpeting and new chairs in here. And that's going to take the faithful giving of God's people in order to do that. Listen to this. We are able to put it. We're going to put a new sign out here. We got the new logo. Did you see that on top of the worship card there? We're going to put a new sign out here. It's going to have the new logo on it. We're excited about that. That's going to take the faithful giving of God's people. This month, it's already scheduled. It's going to happen. I'm telling you, the parking lot is a way. Like, all of this communicates to the public, to the community, that we have a high view of God. It communicates our view of God. I really believe that. And so right now, our parking lot is just, it's deteriorating. Now, some work has already been grinding. It's worse than it probably was even before they started that. But within the next few weeks, it's going to look really nice because of the faithful giving of God's people. Another thing we talked about, I told the guys when they were tearing that wall out there in the connections area, I said, listen, guys, that which is temporary has a way of becoming permanent. And my vision is not to leave that like that. I want to see the walls completely opened up so that it's accessible to everybody. You know, those who have difficulty managing stairways and so on. I want it to be opened up. I mean, we've talked about this. I'm not springing this on you. But in order to do that, it's going to take the faithful giving of God's people. And so, I'm just encouraging you. That those are ways by which giving faithfully are ways in which you can be giving, laying up treasures in heaven. Use your possessions to minister to others. Let me ask you this. When was the last time you used your fill in the blank? Think of something that's significant to you. When was the last time you used your in order to minister to others? It may be your car, it may be your boat, it may be your house, maybe a toy. When was the last time you used that in order to minister to others? It's something for you to think about. And then, of course, serving. Just serving faithfully. You serve and you lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. You're making eternal investments. In order for us to do this, we need God's help. Amen? So let's pray. Heavenly Father, I pray that you would work in all of our hearts. And I pray, Father, that we would commit our hearts to make eternal investments. And so that